Well, welcome this afternoon. If you sleep, I wish you pleasant dreams. Some of the best sleep I've ever had is when somebody else is preaching. I don't know why it works that way. Father, we appreciate the opportunity to be here together as disciples, learners about what's going on in the kingdom of God. We ask that you anoint us today as we as Debbie and I speak, anoint our minds and the words of our mouth, let it be only what we hear from you. But Father, I also pray that you anoint the ears to hear and the hearts to hear, to receive something from you, something special from you that they'll take back with them. It'll change their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So there are a couple of reasons I can think of why somebody might come to a healing school. One is they are going through Father Craig Stahl stuff and desperate to be healed, and so they're going to come and find out how they might be healed. And then the other reason I can think of would be that folks would want to come to something like this so they can learn to better pray for others. So which category do y'all fall in? Anybody here for reason number one? No? Okay, good. Well, we'll make sure that we pray for you, especially this afternoon. We're going to say, how about reason number two? Everybody's here for reason number two. So I call that being a prayer minister, someone who is willing to pray for others, willing to, when they're sick, to pray for them. Up here to pray for a neighbor, to do things, prayer ministry is what we call that. And so we're going to kind of tell stories about prayer ministry and hopefully encourage you a little bit in that area. And matter of fact, I prayed for a pastor and his wife. This was about 3 months ago. They asked for special prayer, and so the Lord started giving some words to them initially, and I asked the question. I said, have you ever prayed for somebody that was sick and seen them healed? And they said, no, with a husband and wife. No, not that we know of. And these are folks that are, nearly 50, I guess. They've been in ministry decades, probably.
Were they CEC?
And it was a CEC priest and his wife, yeah. And so we hope that you will become very intentional and come away from this, like Father Craig says, when I pray for folks, I expect them to get well. Every one of them, all mm-hmm. the time, every time. And that's where we want to
yes.
be. So I want to start in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened about 30 years ago. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 11. Folks, you're still looking. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. So in my daily devotion, this is about middle of 1980s somewhere. I'm in my daily devotions. I'm studying this, looking at it, thinking, what does this mean? The last part of 12:11 talks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The context is discipline. He's talking about how all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who've been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so I was praying, Lord, what does that mean, the peaceable fruit of righteousness? And in the middle of that seeking the Lord, Debbie and I had a chance to go to Guatemala City, and we ministered there in some churches, and one of the part of what we were supposed to do was a citywide healing rally. And boy, they advertised it all over the place. This was, what were you, Pastor Deborah?
No, I was Prophetess.
Prophetess Deborah, the worldwide evangelist and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, it was a big ballroom. There were hundreds of folks there.
The president's wife was there.
There was a lot of expectancy. And we had brought a team with us from the United States. There were probably five or maybe six of us. And the idea was I was going to preach and then we were going to pray for folks. And even though I had spent most of that day fasting and praying, Debbie and I both just felt nothing about this. We just, it was, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to go through the motions. And we hope God shows up because we're not sure we're all there, but we're going to show up anyway.
In fact, I was going through a lot of problems at home. And we had a teenager living with us, and she was driving me crazy. It wasn't my daughter, but it was, she just, I cried the whole way to Guatemala. So I was like, I am done. I am empty, Lord.
Yeah, so she's had working nothing. Another problem. We just felt empty, like yeah. We had nothing. And we started praying for people that night. And if the bishop was here, I would tell him that Debbie and I actually split up. There were so many people. He's always giving us a hard time. We like ministering together. But we split up. There were so many people. We wanted to pray for all of them. And one of the first ladies that I prayed for was blind. And, great. Let's start with the blind one. I'll just pray for her real quick, and we'll move on to the next one, right? And I started praying for her, and she looked up, and she, I can see the lights, you know, real loud, and everybody said, why? What's going on? And she didn't recover her sight entirely, but the Lord started the process of healing, and that just sort of kicked off a great healing rally, as a matter of fact. There were people, a guy that grew kneecaps, he came up on crutches, could barely work on the crutches because he'd been in a motorcycle accident, both kneecaps had been removed. I prayed with him, and the kneecaps grew back. They had a doctor, one of the translators got a doctor to come over. Well, look, I don't know what there was there before, but you got kneecaps now. And that guy walked out carrying his crutches, okay? So God was really doing some wonderful things. Matter of fact, we had one guy there, one kid about, Chester reminds me a little bit of him, except maybe he's a little bit younger than you, Chester. And I told him, I said, okay, now, the Lord's going to do deliverance tonight, and so you're going to be the one leading the deliverance prayer ministry, and you're going to be over in this corner. He goes, me? Deliverance? I've never done anything like that. Well, you know, in the name of Jesus, just cast out the devils and off you go. And, okay. And there were a lot of people delivered. Yeah. I mean, it's real serious. We prayed for people that were there and folks that couldn't make it. That they would be able to quit smoking. And matter of fact, we prayed if they tried to smoke, that they would get sick, right? The next day, when Debbie and I are leaving Guatemala, the team is there at the airport, there are people coming to the airport to tell us all the things. People had gotten up off their deathbeds. People had quit smoking that weren't even at the rally. I mean, God had just done all kinds of things. And Debbie and I are like a knot on a log, as my granny used to say. We're just there. We don't feel anything. It doesn't seem like God's doing anything. Well,
during the whole time we're praying for all these people, I thought, nothing is happening.
Yeah.
It was like I was behind a veil or something. I didn't see anything going on.
And so, after the meeting was over with, the team and the translators and stuff, we got together in a room off the ballroom there. We gathered hands to just kind of pray a sealing prayer. And it was like at that time, all of a sudden, the veil fell off of our eyes and we began to understand all the things that God had done that night because of that team that was there. And as we were praying, the Lord gave us a word of prophecy. I say prophecy because it was like God speaking through someone to us, you know, thus saith the Lord, that kind of thing. And it started off quoting this scripture. And the Lord said, now you know what is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He said, you showed up where I told you to show up. You did what I told you to do. You said what I told you to say. And I was able to take care of all the rest of it. And look at all the people that were touched and healed because you showed up. Mm-hmm. And that's all we did, was we just showed up.
Yeah.
I guess you could say we suited up and showed up. You know, it's like the kid on the school baseball team or football team, and he's hoping he gets to play, and he shows up at practice every day, and he practices, and game day comes, and he's sitting on the bench, and he's hoping they'll put him in, hoping they'll put him in. You know what? If he doesn't suit up and show up, they ain't never going to put him in, right? But if he shoots up and shows up, at least there's a chance that they're going to put him in the game, and he's going to get to do something. Well, that's kind of the way it is with healing ministry. You got to suit up and show up, and you got to expect something to happen. But that, after that, that's about all you have to do. Then your biggest job is figuring out how to get out of the Lord's way while he moves. Now, back in those days, Bishop Chuck, this is way back in 1985 or in that vicinity, you know, if somebody said, well, we're in Christ, in our mind, we translated that as, that means you're saved. We didn't understand this concept of what does it mean to be in Christ and Christ to be in me, and that Christ is actually living his life through me. It's not a sterile Jesus life that's being lived through me. It's a life that's being lived through me, that's flavored by me, colored by me, smelled by me. I mean, it's uniquely something special that God, that he's doing through it. But it's still him moving through us to do that. Now, as a matter of fact, another time in Guatemala, we're out in a village, and if you'll tell the story about the baby, this is a time where the Lord tells you what to do, and you do it accidentally almost.
There was a lady, she's holding a baby. I thought it was a baby because it was only about this big, and it was comatose. And they're just limp and feverish. And the Lord told me to go over and take that baby out of her arms and hold the baby. And as I'm holding the baby during this Dan's preaching, I was like, Lord said, shake this baby 3 times. And I'm going, no way. There is no way I'm shaking this baby because it'll die.
3-year-old girl that looks like she's 8 or 10 months. I mean, just tiny.
Just little. And so I wouldn't shake the baby. I mean, there was just, I wasn't going to do that. And then after the service was over, the team was all standing over to the side, and I'm holding this baby. And I got to thinking about things, and I thought, I got angry. It was like, the people can't afford to go to the doctor. Doctors won't come here because these people are too poor. They don't want to waste their time. And I forget what the other thing was, but I shook that baby 3 times, and I didn't realize what I was doing, but the baby popped its eyes open, and it started crying, and and the fever left, and the parents were saved, and they started feeding that baby. They'd been stuffing beans down its throat just to keep it alive. But that child was 3 years old, and just little tiny thing, but that turned that village around.
Yeah, but this is one of those cases. The Lord said, okay, you show up at the village, you need to shake the baby 3 times, and then I'll take care of the rest. No way. Well, once she did what God said, then he was able to take care of the rest.
Yeah.
There was a fellow that started coming to our church, and now our church is a little unusual in that it's fairly small. There's 20 or 25 folks any given service. And we always take plenty of time to pray for folks, anybody that's sick, and if relatives that are sick, whatever it is. And we've kind of gotten to the place where we don't need to pray for each other very much because God seems to keep us pretty well. But this particular fellow had heard about the church. He wanted to learn how to work in healing ministry. Felt like the Lord wanted him to heal the sick, and so wanted to know how to do that. And he felt like, if I'll just come to these folks, they'll teach me how to do that. And so after he'd been there 2 or 3 times, a lady said, I need some prayer this time. I was at work and hurt my feet. Something happened, and so I want prayer. Okay, good. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted this guy to pray for us. So I said, why don't you just lay hands on her feet? Just kneel down in front of her there and lay hands on her feet and pray for her. And he said, okay. And so some of us gathered around, prayed over her, and he prayed over her. And he didn't feel anything. He's just going through the motions. This is what they say do. This is what I'm going to do. And then later that night, she explains to him, God healed my feet. When you touched my feet, I could feel something, and God healed my feet. He thought she was just telling him that to encourage him. And then he later found out, no, she was really, really healed. And so, again, he was able to pick up on this idea that you don't have to be a healing evangelist. You just have to suit up and show up and let Jesus start moving through you to touch people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, I mean, we've got to read some scriptures occasionally if we're teaching, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's some of you who could probably quote these verses to me, where Paul lists 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 7, he starts with, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then he says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom, and to another is given the word of knowledge. And so he lists there 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a definition of spiritual gifts, okay? This is my definition. You can throw rocks at me if you don't like it, but this is how I see it. That a spiritual gift is when the Holy Spirit moves through a human being to accomplish what no human being could accomplish. Now, there are other kinds of giftings. People always mention the gift of hospitality, the gift of administration, gift of teaching, gift of music, those kind of things. And those gifts may be natural gifts. They may be gifts that you studied in school, and that's how you learn to do those things, or a combination of the two. The Lord may anoint those giftings in you to make them even better. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual gift is when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus living in you, does through you what no human being can do. And they read this verse here, and they say, okay, so that might be like we were doing today at noon Eucharist, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, what was happening up here, people were getting healed, gifts of healings, and we'll talk about healings tomorrow a little bit. And so Paul writes, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another word of knowledge. And a lot of folks have taken that and interpreted it. Oh, so I wonder which gift is mine. Maybe the gift of wisdom, word of wisdom, is my gift. And, you know, if I'm really spiritual, maybe I'll get 2 gifts. Like, maybe I have word of wisdom and gifts of healing. And then if I'm really spiritual, you know, like the bishop, boy, then maybe I'll have 3 gifts or something. These aren't our gifts. He's just trying to describe, and he lists 9 different things, but there are a lot more gifts of the Holy Spirit than that, because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit moves through you, when Jesus in you, that Spirit of Christ, moves through you to touch someone else or something else and to accomplish what no human being could accomplish, whether that's miracle, healing, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, intercessory prayer, visions, dreams, you know, there's lots of those kind of things.
Working of miracles.
Working of miracles. Yeah, since this is a healing conference, we're not going to tell you about all the times that God multiplied food with us. We're not going to tell you about all of the times, not the once, but the several times that God, an angel literally showed up with something, and something materialized out of nothing. We're not going to tell you about those kind of miracles because that's not about healing, right? We're not going to tell you about translation, where you go from one place to another that was supposed to take a 45-minute trip and it only took 20 minutes. We're not going to tell you about those times, okay? We're just going to stick with the healing kinds of things. These are gifts where the Holy Spirit moves through us to touch and heal someone, body, mind, and spirit. So now you know what spiritual giftings are. You got a story you want to tell?
For what?
About a healing story?
Healing story. Mm-hmm. Well, like when we were in Brazil recently, Bishop Paulo's wife decided to take my hand. We're in the process of praying for people. Bishop has preached, and we're now praying. And so she takes me by hand up to this woman in a wheelchair, and I'm going, maybe she has a cold. I'll pray for that cold. And but I asked her, you know, I was praying for her, and I said, what do you want the Lord to do? And she says, well, I want to get up out of this wheelchair. And I said, okay, let's get up out of the wheelchair. So I got her up and started, you know, me and my interpreter were holding on to her and walking her around, and she was getting stronger and stronger. So then I took her by the arm, walking her around, then by the hand, and then she was walking up and down the aisle all by herself. And the next day she even took Eucharist. You know, she wasn't in the wheelchair anymore after that. So it was like I just got to watch what God was doing by her faith. It was fun. That's fun.
I don't understand. Somebody asked me the other day, well, yeah, but whose faith is it? Is it the faith of the person, the prayer minister, or is it the faith of the person being prayed for, or I don't know. I've watched where it looks like it's all kinds of combinations. So this woman, she's bound and determined to get out of that wheelchair. There are other times, I can remember there was a lady here one Sunday morning. This was some time ago. And during the church service, the Lord said, she's sick, and I want to heal her today. Oh, okay, woohoo. And so she comes up for prayer, and I said, good, I'm glad you're in this line, because the Lord says you're sick and you need to be healed. What is it? Oh, no, I'm okay. No. Lord's going to heal you today. What is it? No, I'm okay. You know, don't worry about it.
Did she tell me or something?
Yeah, and so Debbie comes up beside me, and she reaches for Debbie and whispers. And she had had a persistent urinary tract infection. And, okay, good. Lord's going to, Lord told me. I know. You know, I think Paul talks about the gift of faith. I think that's that gift of faith, where the Holy Spirit's faith just begins to operate in you, and you just know that you know that you know. And so we prayed for that lady, and sure enough, we were here about a year later, and she, hi, I'm still healed. I love when that kind of thing happens. We went to Kenya one time. About half of our church congregation is from Kenya. And so when we go over there to minister, we're mostly going to see friends and family. And we showed up there.
Like Gloria and Esther.
Yeah, like those Kenyans back there. Yeah. who are becoming great prayer ministers, by the way. The Lord is using them in great ways. So we show up on a Saturday. We arrive, come from the airport to somebody's house. Of course, there's always food that's prepared. And the one of the relatives, I don't remember exactly what the relationships were, but one of the relatives is about a 55, 60-year-old man, and he has bone spurs on his back. And as Father Craig can testify to, he was in a lot of pain.
We had just gotten off the airplane. We'd just arrived in the village, and we're tired.
Oh, man. You know, I mean, people talk about how glamorous it is to do international travel. That's just folks that have never done that. That's kind of how I feel about it. You're stuck in this aluminum tube for 8 hours at a time, two or three different segments, and by the time you arrive, you know, you're just
done.
You're sort of done. And so we arrive, we're all done. He's talking about bone spurs. He's going to have surgery next week. They're not even sure that the surgery's going to help. Might even make it worse. They're concerned. Would you guys please pray? And so the team gathers around and prays for him. And, you know, our best prayer before we fall asleep, and now lay me down to sleep, oh, please heal Peter. And, I mean, that was about as good as we could do. That was Saturday. Now, he goes to a non-charismatic church there, a regular Anglican church. And so he goes to, next morning comes time to go to church. His wife says, come on, let's go to church. No, man, I'm hurting too bad. I don't want to go to church. They prayed for you last night. The least you can do is go to church. Okay, I'll go to church. So he goes to church. And about halfway through the service, as he tells the story, he's sitting there thinking, I've got to go to the bathroom. And I dread getting up and having to walk all that way to the bathroom. I think I'll just set it out. I'm not sure I can set it out. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go. And so he gets up to hobble up to the bathroom, and he said he got about halfway to the bathroom when he realized he wasn't hurting anymore. God had completely set him free while he was sitting there in church dreading going to the bathroom because of the hurt. So I don't know where the faith is sometimes. You know, maybe it's... The part I think is maybe the faith is coming from the intercessory prayer warriors who are staying behind and are praying for us as we go. You know, and for sure they're getting the same reward we're getting for the whatever suit up and show up we do. They're going to get the same kind of reward for that. And again, Peter, what reminded me of that was we saw Peter about a year later. No, got an email from Peter about a year later. And he ends the email with, tell Father Dan and Debbie I'm still healed. He was just so excited about that. So much to Bishop Chuck's chagrin, Debbie and I like to minister together as a team. Matter of fact, I personally believe that prayer ministry is best done in twos and threes. I know you can't always do that. Sometimes there's so many people to pray for that you pray for folks individually. But there's just something about the synergy of two people praying or three people praying together that it just seems to allow God to move in a way that he can't otherwise move. And I think it's because of this fact that he's moving through us. He's moving through the filter that is us. And there's some things that he can show me that I'll understand what he's talking about and I can relate that. Debbie might not be able to, but then there's things where she will be able to understand or see something, and I won't. What happened in Brazil? You were praying for somebody, some lady.
I just didn't have anything, and I knew that you did, and so I had to go over and get you.
Yeah, I was off somewhere else.
I don't always have everything. Yeah, that cheated.
<That's right.
laughs> If you think that you have something for everybody, I've heard prophets, and they're going to prophesy over everybody in the place, and it's like they don't have the word for everybody, and we got to be careful not to just say, well, I'm going to say anything then. I'll just say anything, and that's wrong.
Because when these spiritual gifts flow, they're not in my control. Not ever. Matter of fact, if I am not willing to say I am ready to go pray for 10 people and have none of them get well or be touched by God at all, if I'm not willing to do that, I'm not ready to be a prayer minister. I have totally misunderstood what it's all about. And especially if I get embarrassed because I prayed for somebody and nothing happened. If I get embarrassed over that, I have really misunderstood what prayer ministry is about and what spiritual giftings are about, because it isn't ever about me. I can't learn enough. I can't have enough education. Matter of fact, sometimes I think the more we learn, the more we know, especially if you're praying inner healing, and you have a psychiatry degree or a psychology degree, that might actually get in the way because you think, oh, I know what this is, and off you go. No, you don't know what it is, okay? Only the Holy Spirit knows what it is. Give him a chance to do things and to take care of things. This lady, Debbie said, I just don't have anything for her, and I know that you do. Why don't you pray for her? As soon as I touched that lady, I mean, it was like the power of God. I didn't know I had anything for her until I touched her. And all of a sudden, God moved, and it was a prayer of deliverance, among other things, and she was really set free. And then I went off to whatever else I was doing, and the Lord had moved through me, and great, we're done. But
which is another thing. If I've had, I had something for someone one time, and another person came up and said, and took the person away from me. And decided they were going to minister to this person. That person stayed in the condition they came in because the Lord had the anointing for me to pray for that person, but they were jealous and they didn't want me doing it. And so this was years ago, but you know, it's like, it, you know, you have to be careful not to assume you have it. Somebody else doesn't.
So, and forgive me for a non-healing story, but let me just tell a story about working together. So, there was a lady that the Lord had given me a word for, young woman, and I went over to her. Debbie came with me, and I said, "I, when I look at you, I hear the Lord saying how much he appreciates your diligence and your persistence and your perseverance. And you're willing, you just take one step at a time and plod on, and no matter how difficult it is, no matter how far away the goal is, you just are willing to work and do whatever's right, and whether you get encouragement or not, and you just do what he tells you to do and be persistent and plod on about it." And the whole time I'm talking, she's kind of squinching up her face and going, "Huh? What? What does that mean? I don't know.
And I said, "Like the tortoise and the hare."
And as soon as Debbie says that, she goes, "Oh, that was my favorite story in grade school, and I always wanted to be the tortoise. I know what you're talking about now." Well, see, I had part of it, and she had part of it. And I love when it works that way. Matter of fact, I like it when we're praying, and there's several people praying together for someone, and they get healed, because you don't know who the healing power flowed through. You know, well, it was just somebody. God, we can't take any credit for it anyway. Let's make it easy. Of course, what bugs me is we'll take a team of somewhere to pray for people. And Debbie and I get the back aches and the stomach aches and things like that. And then one of our team members gets to pray for, like one time happened, there was a lady that bent like this, he had to have help just to get up to the prayer line. It's severe arthritis. And this lady prays for her, and I mean, she is instantly healed. We're praying for, you know, the 10th backache in a row, and all of a sudden you hear over there there's hooping and hollering and commotion and somebody jumping up and down and dancing, and it's this lady that had rheumatoid arthritis. And the next morning, she had a couple of people that helped her in her house. They came to her house, and she was fixing breakfast. "Oh, no, ma'am, you can't be doing that." "Oh, yes, I can." And boy, she was just enjoying it. It's always fun to watch how God, where you never know what he's going to do or who he's going to do it through. One of the things that that happened in Brazil a lot is that we would get other people to help us pray for folks. And matter of fact, Bishop Chuck was talking about that earlier, about how the Lord would give a word of knowledge. I remember one night, the word of knowledge was, there are several people here that are in depression. And you're suffering with great depression, can't get rid of it. And there was a little guy back there in the chair, 50-year-old something guy all by himself. And boy, his hand goes up right away. He's okay. When Bishop Chuck said, "If you'll stand up." And then what we were doing was, we, the prayer team folks, would then go try to encourage others around them to pray for them. And this particular person, there just weren't that many people around him. And so there was a 17, 18-year-old girl who was, so if it was you that was in depression, this girl was like about here. And I said, okay, pray for him. And she, no. Yeah, you, pray for him. Huh? Yeah, you know, touch him with your hands and pray for that depression. Okay, and so she timidly goes over there and, you know, puts her hand on his head. I don't know if she said anything. She's praying for him. And so a few minutes later then, Bishop Chuck says, okay, now I want everybody that was just healed to raise your hand. This guy jumps up, raises his hand, like this big smile on his face, and I looked at her and I said, God worked through you to touch him. And all of a sudden, this big smile comes on her face. You go, oh, yeah, that's cool. And it was so fun to watch. We, you know, you have a line of people, infinite line, it seems like, of people to pray for. And especially if it'd be a woman, well, I'm hurting here. Well, I'm not going to touch her there, okay? And so what I would do is I'd find a woman in line, one or two people back, innocent bystander, and say, come on up here and let me anoint you, and you're going to lay hands on her and pray for her. And what was funny was the number of times that God would touch and heal that person, and they would realize God did that at my hands.
And sometimes they would be healed in the process.
And sometimes they would be healed, but it what was really funny was then they were ready to stick around and pray for the next one too. They like that. This is going to be fun doing this. And there were some, the whole night they would spend, and finally we get down to the line's pretty much gone. Okay, well, weren't you in line for, oh yeah, I need so-and-so, and they were either already healed, or, you know, it was time to pray for them, let them get healed. So turn to Mark 16. Let me tell you the prayer I was praying over them. Mark 16. This is some of the last words that Jesus says to his disciples on planet Earth, Mark 16, starting in verse 17. So this has happened several times. As a matter of fact, there was kind of a streak of this going on in Uganda. A young person would come up, a young person, teenager, early 20s, would come up and say, I can't see well enough to do my studies. I can't read. Okay, let's pray for you. I'd pray for them.
They had chronic malaria there, I think.
A lot of times
it affected
they had chronic
their
malaria,
sign a lot.
Yeah. Okay, can you see better now? No, not really. And so I'd get somebody from in line, maybe one or two people, come on and help me pray. And we'd pray for them again. Maybe I'd get them to get some anointing oil, anoint their eyes. Pray again. Okay, can you see any better? Well, yeah, I can see a little better. Can you read that? No. Okay. As I get a couple more people, come on, let's pray for them some more. And there might be six or eight people praying for them by then. And then after a few minutes, you go, okay, Can you read this now? And they'd go, no, it's not in Swahili. Well, can you read the letters? Yeah, W-O-R-K-I-S. But, you know, it took being intentional. It took just staying with it. And I think it took getting other people involved and letting other people's faith get involved. And so in Mark 16 here, Jesus says, and these signs will accompany those who have been chosen by Bishop Chuck as part of a prayer team. No, that's not what it says. This is, talk about simple, Bishop Chuck. This is simple. And these signs will follow those who have believed. Of course, that means believed in Jesus, right? Okay, anybody here doesn't fall in that category? That in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. It talks about picking up deadly things and poison, and then at the very last of verse 18, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. That's what Jesus expects of every believer. And it goes on to say, so then, when the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he had received up into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. I think we would probably today say worked through them and confirmed the word by signs that followed every believer. And so, Bishop, Father David holds. So I'd tell them, hold your hands out like this, and I'd anoint their hands with oil, and then I'd just pray a prayer of activation. I just activate in you that gift that God has for every believer, that is to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and to cast out demons. And sometimes they're looking at me like, you're crazy, man. I'm just, you know, a believer. But they would lay those hands on somebody else, and God would start moving through them. Signs would move through them. And they would be healed. Think of any stories you'd like to tell before we tell about the finding prayer?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. One of the things.
But I did see a lot of people awakened with that anointing. excuse me.
One of the things that's happened a lot.
I need healing.
Yeah, one of the things that's happened a lot is just one very specific kind of healing, and I'll tell you one story, or maybe a couple of stories similar. In Brazil, one lady came to me. How can the Lord help you? What do you want the Lord to do? I'm in a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. Oh yeah. So what's going on? Well, I have these dreams. I had a dream. Do you know when it started? Yes, 2 years ago. Yeah, what did it start with? It started with a dream. Okay. What was the dream? Well, I dreamed of my uncle. He was in a car wreck and he died. And 3 days later, he was in a car wreck and died. And I didn't say anything about it. And the Holy Spirit revealed. And since then, you've had lots of these kind of dreams, right? Yeah, I'm having these kind of dreams all the time. And I don't know what to do with it. And I'm in fear and... Had a lady one time that
in Scotland
that the Lord pointed her out and said, "You're an intercessor, right?" And
she goes, "Well, oh. I was sitting next to her. I said, you're an intercessor."
She says, "I don't even know what that means." And so Debbie says, "Well, that means the Lord shows you how to pray for people, and you pray for them." No, but I keep having these dreams and bad dreams, and then they die. They get sick and die, and I don't know what to do about it. And so, you know, as the Lord leads, we begin to help them understand there's not something wrong with you. There is an anointing on you. God wants to flow through you in this gift of intercessory prayer. He is showing you his will, how to pray for people, and then he wants you to be able to do that. And invariably the reaction is, huh, me? I can't do that. Oh, sure, this is easy. God's already anointed you to do that. You just need to learn to move in that anointing. Oh, okay. And so you start praying with them and activating them and ministering with them. And what was funny was the lady in Scotland, this was the very first or second day we were there, and she and a couple of others kind of followed us around wherever we went. By the time we left there, she was prophesying over folks, giving words of knowledge, words of wisdom, praying for everybody that showed up. I mean, God just completely turned her life around. This lady in Brazil that I prayed for the very next day. Part of this praying for, Lord said, now, to let you know, this is God, and to confirm this to you, you're going to have a dream, a spiritual dream tonight, and you'll know this is God bringing you into this prayer message. The next day in a service, sure enough, she sees me. Oh, just like you said, I had a dream last night. I even wrote it down. I mean, she was so excited because now what had been a source of torment for her was a place of ministry, a place of being used by the Holy Spirit. So
one of the things too is activating faith in people. Mm-hmm. Like we have a girl that's living with us right now, and she had this horrible wart and it was growing on her finger, and it looked terrible. She'd had it for about a year. And warts are a curse. They're under the curse part of the law. And so I said, well, you know, that's a curse, and so you need to take authority over that. And so for about a year, you know, she knows, and it'd get a little less, and then it'd grow up again big. And finally, it just got into her spirit, and it was like she knew that this needed to go. The next day, it was gone completely. So it was like overnight gone. He's had warts overnight gone from his feet, and like new baby skin the next day and stuff. Because that is a curse. But sometimes it takes a while for that faith to be planted in our spirit.
Yeah. So it's hard to know sometimes why things don't happen right away, or things take a while. Sometimes it's healed over a period of time. Sometimes it suffered for a period of time and then healed instantly. Sometimes it's healed. We don't know. But that part's not up to us. All I know is that if I'll suit up and show up, then it's up to him to take care of the rest of it. And if I pray for someone and they're not obviously touched and healed, that's really not my responsibility. I did my job. I showed up and prayed for them. And now it's up to him to do the rest of it. And I've pondered that. You know, I've wondered, well, Lord, why? Now, there's sometimes it's obvious why things don't happen. Sometimes there are things that are blocked. That rally in Guatemala we were telling you about, there was a guy who came up to me in a wheelchair, and he was wheeling himself in the wheelchair, and as he was wheeling up, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I can't heal him until he forgives." I was very clear. Okay. By the way, a lot of times as a prayer minister, somebody comes up for prayer, most of the time I don't have a clue how to pray for them or what to pray or anything else to start with. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that's fun about working with Debbie is, oh good, I'll just start praying in tongues and maybe she'll have something. And of course she's sitting there going, well, I'm just going to pray in tongues, maybe he'll have something. But you know what, eventually the Lord shows up after you've prayed for a few minutes, the Lord shows up and begins to show you something and begins to move and work. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily what that person was looking for. This guy wanted to get out of his wheelchair. But the Lord knew that's not what he needs first. What he needs first is he needs some spiritual healing. He needs to be able to forgive someone else. And so he comes up and I, what do you want? I want to walk. Okay, good. This is what I heard the Lord say as you were coming up. You know, I told him, you need to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. Well, you need to forgive or God's not going to heal you. Lord, he turns his wheelchair around and off he goes. Now, Debbie was on, Bishop Chuck, we were separated at the time. I was on one side of the podium and she was on the other. So the guy wheels around the back and comes to Debbie. And so as he's coming up to you,
I said, God wants you to forgive. Or he can't be healed.
And what happened? So
it's like he got mad and left. I think he left the building then. He was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, isn't that sad? And the other guy with the kneecaps had been removed, the Lord was able to heal him. I believe the Lord will heal that guy too, brought him out of that wheelchair. We've seen God do that.
We had another young man do the same thing too. He came to me first though, and he wanted the gift of singing.
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, do you sing now? Or he wanted to be a star or something. And I said, do you sing now? No. And he wanted to play the guitar. And I said, well, do you play the guitar? No. So, okay, well, let me tell you what I feel like the Lord is saying to you, that you need to seek him and his kingdom first and don't worry about this part of it. He's got something else for you or something. So he didn't like what he heard, so he goes over to Dan.
And of course, Lord,
Dan had the same word.
I had exactly the same words from me that he did from Debbie. Yeah. So I want us to tell you about what we call the finding prayer. Now, most of y'all may be already doing this. I don't know. But this is a great, this is not necessarily healing. It's about just moving in the miraculous. And this is a great way to begin moving in the miraculous. And it's a great way to teach your children about moving in the supernatural, the miraculous. And that is, anytime you lose something, whoever's around, you get together and you pray out loud, Lord, either help us, either tell us where this is or send an angel to bring it to us. And how many of you already pray that? Do you get your kids to pray that with you or your grandkids? You need to do that because they'll pick up on that. Now, we were telling somebody about that, and a deacon in one of the churches, and, okay, I'm going to go home and try that. And about a week later, I get an email from him. It doesn't work. We've been trying it, and it doesn't work. Just keep trying. About a week later, I get an email. You were right. We just had to be persistent. And I mean, God had healed the power supply on a laptop and found all kinds of things. So I'll tell you a quick story about finding. We were in line for immigration.
Kenya.
In the Kenya airport. Coming into the country, and there was a lady in front of us from Australia. She was coming to visit some folks, and we'd been talking, and we're all talking, and then realized, oh, we need to get our passports out and our little immunization cards. And so Debbie and I get ours out. She starts looking for hers. She has a backpack with her, and that's all her carry-on was. It wasn't a whole lot bigger than this, but it's just a, you know, a regular backpack. And she starts looking through that backpack, and she can't find her passport. She opens every zipper, takes everything out of the backpack. She cannot find her passport. And then she goes, oh, no, I remember now where it is. I left it on the table in the restaurant in the Amsterdam airport. Oh, now what am I going to do? I don't have the money to go back. They're going to throw me in jail. What am I going to do? And so we said, well, let's just pray the finding prayer. And she looks at us like we are crazy. Okay. And we take her hand. Debbie and I take her hand and just pray very simply that, Lord, either show her where this passport is or bring it to her. And amen. And he said, okay, why don't you look in your backpack again? I looked in my, it's not there. Just look in your backpack again. Okay. And she unzips the top of the backpack like this. And the passport is sitting there on top of her stuff. Later, we were, a bunch of us went to the Kenyan Wildlife Preserve. And we were going to go in this van so we could see the animals and stuff. And we're at the gate. Figuring out how to pay to get into the wildlife preserve. And pretty soon we hear this commotion outside the van. There's somebody hollering out there. We look around her, and it's her. And she's going, that's them. That's the ones that got my passport. That's them. Well, of course, it wasn't us that got her passport, you know. All we did was pray the finding prayer. And so if you're not used to seeing God move, give God a chance that way. I'm telling you, it has been years since we've lost something that God didn't bring to us or show us where it was. And that's a great way, especially with kids, to get them started, because kids are just, they'll believe anything. You tell them that's what we're going to do. Okay, they'll believe it, and God will show up. You know, oh, now I know where it is, Mom, Oh, look, there it is on the top of the desk or where we looked before. And they understand it. They get it.
And, Bishop, when, you have the youth praying for people and you'll get them involved in things and stuff here at the church. And our granddaughter, we got her involved in a service to pray for people. And she just stood there and she didn't say a word. She just laid hands on whoever it was, and they were healed. But, you know, she won't say anything. So we're trying to train her how, you know, it's okay to ask them how they're feeling or, you know, to talk. But the kids are really catching on to the power of God that way. And it turns them on, you know, to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten all about that. Right. Yeah, wow. Praise the Lord. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lord will do that. That's wonderful. We have, it's just fun to watch God heal people. Sometimes I feel like I'm a passenger on a train, especially when we go on one of these mission trips. It's just, yes, I know I'm laying hands on people and I'm praying for them, but I'm just a passenger in the train. I'm just watching what God is doing. God loves to heal people. He just loves to touch and change people, and I think we're going to get a chance here to pray for each other and practice letting the gifts of the Holy Spirit move through us and such. And
well, we heard healings about healing this morning, you know, those miracles that happened. And when I had cancer of the breast, and everybody in the church was praying, and all, you know, a lot of the people in different churches were praying and stuff, and I tell you, the power of prayer through the people in the churches. I went to what do you call those?
Healing rooms.
Uh-huh. You know, where people prayed for me and stuff. And then through having Eucharist every day, and it builds your faith. But the Lord healed me. But finally through chemo, I did chemo, but it was 3 treatments, and I was the cancer was completely gone, and the doctors were shocked because they weren't expecting it to even shrink. It was an aggressive cancer. I was in stage 3, and they just didn't expect it to do anything, but it was completely gone. It's been, what, 8 years now? 8 years since that happened. But sometimes, and I do appreciate all your all your prayers.
Yeah, sometimes we don't understand. Why is it that sometimes God says, okay, I want you to go to the doctor and find out what this is. And you go find out what it is, and then you start praying, and all of a sudden it goes. Or the next time, you need to go to the doctor and actually get treatment. And he heals through the treatment, or he accelerates that process. Well, why did we have to do that? Especially if it's going to be supernatural like that. Why did we have to do that? Well, I don't know. And the point is, I'm not going to know. I can say, well, I've prayed for folks with this kind of condition 5 different times. I prayed this same prayer every time, and they all 5 got healed. So the next person, the 6th person that comes along, I'm going to pray for them the same way. No, I can't do that because I have no idea what the Lord wants to do. I just got to do whatever the Lord wants to do. If he wanted to do that same thing 5 times, well, that's great. But that has nothing to do with the next time we pray for somebody.
It's not a formula.
It's a fresh slate every time. Mm-hmm. Because it's not me doing it. I'm not learning how to heal people. I'm just learning how to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit to let him move through me to touch folks and do whatever he wants to. And hopefully not give up too soon, you know, and stick with it sometimes. 7 years maybe is a little long, but...
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't had the chronic stuff like he had the 7-year headache. Whew, man, no thank you.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll let you have that blessing. Bishop Chuck, you want to do something different now? He wants to keep telling stories because we could tell stories for about 2 weeks about things we've seen God do. We've got some different kinds of stories to tell tomorrow.